And Ryan Wehning with you. Big news story of the day, the retirement of Tim Duncan announced earlier today. And to talk more about that and other NBA stuff this afternoon, we're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by Jason Pat, the managing editor of today's Fast Break. Jason, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on again.
Well, the way Tim Duncan retired, that seems pretty typical for him. No farewell tour, not even a press conference, just a little release from the team announcing his retirement, and somehow that seems just about right for him.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of look at the dichotomy between Duncan retirement and then the Kobe retirement, and it's basically perfect, like a perfect representation of both. And obviously, Kobe was the more colorful character, brash player, killer on the court, if you will, and obviously he had this whole season was basically a coronation of Kobe, and it culminated in his awesome 64 game to finish off. And then Tim Duncan, there were some hints that maybe he'd retire, but he's always been the quieter, say more humble player, teammate and stuff like that. And then he goes out just on a Monday with that press release, like you said. I think Pop talked there. I think they might have a press conference later in the week. And it is kind of perfect. I almost thought there were rumors last week about Duncan possibly retiring over the weekend. I almost thought it was just going to be like a Friday afternoon news dump. That would have been even more perfect. But, yeah, it was just like a perfect representation of what Duncan is without the pomp and circumstance of a farewell tour. Perfect.
Well, like you said, he was not a guy who sought out the publicity, but the numbers speak for themselves, and the rings with five championships. Where do you think we will eventually place Tim Duncan when we look at the great players of all time in the league?
Yeah, I mean, he's right up there. I mean, it's always tough, this argument, just because over different eras, it can be tough to compare guys, different positions, stuff like that, but I don't know how you don't have Tim Duncan as probably one of the at least top 10 players. A lot of people argue the Kobe-Duncan era argument over who's the best player of this generation. Some will say Kobe, some will say Duncan. I mean, it's a really tough argument. I would probably lean toward Duncan just because overall it's the consistent team success, his success, and the way he adapted his game so many different times, and just the overall consistency of him. It's really incredible because they went to the playoffs all 19 seasons that he was there. They won 50 games 17 years in a row. The only reason they didn't win 50 games in every single one of his seasons was with the lockout year in 1998-99. And, of course, that year they won his first championship. So just a sustained success of both him and the team over the 19 seasons is just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, those are remarkable numbers. So as you look back at Tim Duncan's career, is there a moment that stands out? What will you remember best about him?
He's not really a moment. He was just, like I said, so good for so long. I don't know if there was a point where he really stood out above the rest. Winning, I think it was either 2003 was pretty great, because that was when him and David Robinson were on their last. Robinson, I think, retired after those finals. For those two to win it all, that final year. Duncan put up huge numbers, of course, and for Robinson to go on top like that was definitely really special. But he's been so good throughout all these years and all those finals. I believe he won three finals MVPs. And I can't remember if it was 2003 or 2005 where he just put up absolutely incredible numbers across the board. So it's just there's so many to choose from. It's hard to pick just one. Mm.
We're talking with Jason Pat, today's Fast Break, SB Nation. It's been a really interesting offseason in the NBA so far. A lot of moves, including near you. Your Bulls have had an interesting time of it here with some big moves and some key acquisitions. Is Chicago a better team now than they were a month ago?
That's kind of hard to say. Because, I mean, you add guys like Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo, obviously big names. They've won championships. They've been all-star games. But a lot of the questions around those additions are: do all the parts fit together? Was it smart to go add, if you want to call them, past their prime players? Obviously, D Wade's 34; he's not the same D Wade he was when the Bulls were chasing him back in 2010. They thought they were getting him. Rondo's had a rough few years. Last year in Sacramento, he put up good numbers, but his overall impact wasn't great. I know there were a lot of criticisms about his defense. And then he had the rough time in Dallas when Rick Carlisle basically sent him home from that playoff series. So on paper, yeah, the names look great, but in terms of it fitting all together and in Fred Hoiberg's system and whether he's able to get them under control, that's going to be a big question mark and on both sides of the ball as well, because there's the lack of shooting between their backcourt with Wade, Rondo, and Jimmy Butler, and then the defense will be a question again as well. So on paper, they look like they should be better than they were last year. Obviously, they disappointed and they missed the playoffs this past year. But I've said this is one of the things I've said multiple times. It seems like there's a lot of variance at play here with this Bulls team. They could come together really nicely. Maybe they finish in the top four, top five of the East, but it could also spiral out of control pretty badly. So it's going to be really interesting to watch how that plays out.
Jason, now that the Kevin Durant saga has gone back out to sea, the focus kind of shifts to Russell Westbrook now. Do you think he finishes the season as a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Yeah, that's a good question. That was the first thing a lot of people figured once you get past the Warriors, Durant thing is, okay, now the Thunder probably have to go trade Westbrook. There'll be rumors all year about him signing with the Lakers or signing with the Knicks. That kind of stuff has already started. I know Adrian Wojnarowski of the Vertical said that he thinks that there's still a good chance that Westbrook stays. It doesn't sound like he's going to sign that. He can still renegotiate his contract and sign an extension with Oklahoma City. It doesn't sound like he's going to do that. And if he doesn't commit long-term, the Thunder really do have to think about trading him. I'm not going to say 100% that they're going to do it, but it would not surprise me at all, especially if the season isn't going very well, that if they try to get at least something for him. The problem is just finding the right value to get back in a trade, because if teams trading for him, if they don't get that commitment from him staying, they're not going to want to give up what the Thunder will want. So that's why it's going to be possibly a tough situation for the Thunder in terms of just riding out with him or trying to get any type of value out of a trade.
Jason, I know when we watch the Summer League, it's kind of like alternate universe basketball where things don't obviously necessarily apply to the real NBA, but there have been some young players that are really standing out from the last two or three draft classes.
Yeah, I know Ben Simmons is obviously number one pick. He's had shown his ups and downs. Some of his passing has been on display, and that's one of the most attractive things about him. He's 6'9", 6'10", but he can pass like a guard. It's almost like in a LeBron or Magic Johnson type mold. His shooting is still one of his biggest question marks. And I know last game against the Bulls yesterday, he scored 18 points, hit a handful of mid-range jumpers. So that was really good to see him be a bit more aggressive looking for scoring. I know Chris Dunn has gotten a lot of hype for his start in Summer League with the Timberwolves, number five pick, and he's put up some really big numbers. Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns was a lottery pick last year, and he's looked phenomenal. He looks like he's ready to be a breakout star for the Suns this year in their backcourt. So there's definitely been some notable performances. There have been some guys that haven't looked that good either, but obviously first couple games of a Summer League career, you can't determine whether a guy's going to be a star or a bust just yet.
Well, the Celtics apparently decided that Jared Sullinger was never going to be the star they hoped he'd be. They parted ways. It didn't take long for him to find a new deal. He signed a one-year contract today with the Raptors. What's the perception of Sullinger as a player from outside of New England?
I would say he's a decent player. I mean, I was kind of surprised only 1 year, $6 million. That was pretty cheap. I thought he would get at least a little more than that. I know he's a decent shooter. He seems to be a bit streaky. He's a good rebounder, and I think that's something that Celtics might miss is his rebounding. His defense is just so-so. I would say overall that he can help you in some ways. He can stretch the floor a little bit. He can rebound. He's a big body down low. He's got some nice skills. But that his defense can be a problem. And we saw some of his flaws against the Hawks in the first round series this year. He was almost unplayable at times. So that's a concern. I think some of those issues, I know he's also had the weight issues and stuff like that. So I think that might be why he's getting this one-year deal with the Raptors. He can't help them in the front court. They needed some help at power forward, and since they lost Biombo, they could use another guy behind Jonas Valanciunas. So I think he'll be on this one-year, maybe prove a deal, and then next summer maybe he'll get a longer-term deal for a lot more money.
Jason Patton writes about the NBA for today's Fast Break and SB Nation. Jason, always great talking with you. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thanks again, guys. Take